to Quest for Gold. This week, we start with basketball. USA has now qualified a men's and women's 3-on-3 basketball team. This will be the first time the event has been held in the Olympics. Rosters will be determined at a later date. Bad news for Olympic basketball hopeful Steph Curry. He broke his hand this week and is out indefinitely. Curry had said he planned to play for Team USA this summer. He has never played for an Olympic team before. We'll see if this injury changes those plans. In soccer, the U.S. women's national team has named a new head coach. Vlatko Andonovski, who is twice named NWSL Coach of the Year, will fill that role, replacing Jill Ellis. He has Tokyo 2020 circled on his calendar.
I know that the Olympic tournament is about a year away, but most importantly for us is before that is to qualify for the tournament, and that's going to be our first thing on the agenda, and we have a very experienced team. We have players that have been on the international stage. They've won big games, big tournaments. So we're going to rely heavily on them, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to expand the roster. It doesn't mean that we're not going to expand the pool and deepen the pool. We're going to look at new players, and at the end, the ones that perform the best at training, at game, will get a chance to be on the roster.
We told you last week Alex Morgan said she's expecting a child. This week she says she still plans on making that U.S. roster and playing in the summer games. If you want to hear more about women's soccer, take a listen to our Quest for Gold episode 12. In figure skating, Carpentersville's Brittany Tinnell wrapped up Skate Canada last week. She did not make the podium, but she'll get another chance this weekend as part of the Skating Grand Prix, this time in France. Tiger Woods may have played himself back into the conversation when it comes to playing in Tokyo after winning the Zozo Championship in China this week.
Well, I hope so. I hope to qualify for the team and represent my country. I'm ninth in the world, and hopefully I'll move up a little bit. But, you know, I don't know when the qualifying ends. Hopefully I can play a little bit better than I did, post-Masters this year and play a little bit better and qualify for the team. I know some of my friends have made Olympic teams before in the past, and they said it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And I have never played for a gold medal before, and certainly would be an honor to do it, and especially at the age I'll be 44, and you know, I don't know if I have many more chances after that.
U.S. baseball begins its WBSC Premier 12 tournament Saturday against the Netherlands. This is a qualifying tournament for Tokyo 2020. Only six teams will qualify for Japan, the U.S. currently ranked second. U.S. Olympic Hall of Fame induction ceremony held Friday night among the newly inducted athletes. Women's basketball legend Lisa Leslie, beach volleyball player Misty May Traynor, short track speed skater Apollo Anton Ono, swimmer Dana Torres, and the 1998 U.S. women's hockey team. And that sets us up for our sports spotlight on Quest for Gold. A couple weeks ago, more than 35 Olympians from around the world competed at Fifth Third Arena in Chicago as part of the Women's Hockey Showcase. This was an event developed by the newly created Professional Women's Hockey Players Association. They're trying to get their league off the ground, and they started with a clinic for girls at the United Center, followed by a tournament featuring some of the best women's hockey players in the world. Among them, Buffalo Grove native Megan Bozek, who I had a chance to speak with. She won a silver medal at the Olympics in Sochi. I met her at the United Center.
Tell me a little bit about Sochi 2014.
Yeah, it's definitely a dream come true when you've been named to that Olympic team. You can go travel and represent your country, seeing those rings. So Sochi was amazing. Obviously a heartbreaker of a final game, but experiencing that with my teammates, my family in the stands, and with Russia being such great host, it was very, very memorable.
It was a close call. I know at the end they still had some paint on the walls that hadn't dried yet. I mean, when you arrived, did it feel like it was complete?
Our village was great. We had no hiccups or anything like that. I know other hotels had a desk without a chair or kind of a mattress without a bed frame kind of thing, but our setup was great, from the food, the accommodations, everything, with the rinks being so close. It was great for us.
Is playing at the international level, is that a little bit different of an experience, or is once the puck drops, is it the same?
You get those nerves out during warm-ups, which is nice. It's a different stage than when you play a World Championships or a Four Nations Cup, but you have to realize that you're there for the same thing. You're playing against the people that you've played against pretty much all year. So after warm-ups, it's game on for that 60 minutes.
You grew up in the Northwest suburbs?
Yeah, I grew up in Buffalo Grove and actually played for Team Illinois. And then switched to the Chicago Mission. So I played for Team Illinois Boys for 3 years. I played TI Girls for 3 years, and then Chicago Mission my junior and senior year of high school, and then went off to University of Minnesota.
Is the Olympics the apex of the sport right now when it comes to women's hockey?
Absolutely. You train day in and day out with that goal in mind, and obviously there's steps along the way with different games, different tournaments, but you look to fulfill that at the Olympics.
What is the status of women's hockey right now? I have a feeling it's never been stronger, but is it growing, and where is it growing?
Absolutely, it's growing. You even look back 2 or 3 years, and you can say thousands of more girls have signed up to play hockey, and with being part of this association for the PWHPA, Professional Women's Hockey Players Association, we are not playing in a league in North America, and we are trying to fight for something bigger than ourselves. We are trying to see that all of the best women in the world can play in a professional league, a professional team system, that you don't have to work another job, you don't have to worry about sacrificing training or trying to fulfill a dream to make sure that you can pay your mortgage on time and everything else that comes with that. So we are all standing together. We've had 2 great weekends of showcases for the PWHPA, and this is the third one that's about to kick off.
I've talked to the people in soccer academies, and they say that, you know, we do well at the youth level, we do well even in high school, but then when we get to college, things kind of drop off. I imagine there are some sports where the youth level is where the struggle is, getting people pulled into the sport. Where is, I don't want to focus on deficiencies, but where do you see need for improvement when it comes to girls and women's hockey?
I'd say post-college. Post-collegiate play, right now, as of last year, had 2 options to play professional, which we were still not making a living wage playing with the NWHL and the CWHL. And as of May 1st of this year, the CWHL folded. And so there was 1 league, and it's not a sustainable lifestyle to call ourselves professional to work towards that. So I think post-collegiate, because you have so many opportunities to play youth, high school, collegiate as well, with Division I, Division III, Division I club. And then after, there's kind of a standstill because you either make one of the 4 teams that are happening right now, or with what we're doing with our association is standing together to still play games, but hoping for something bigger and better, per se, to come along so we can be treated like professionals day in and day out.
At the youth level, it's getting stronger. I mean, is it park districts? Is it private clubs? I mean, where are people getting into the sport? Where's the jump in sport to the sport?
I think by seeing some of us play on TV, and it doesn't necessarily start at the age of 3. Some girls just started skating at the age of 12 because they watched the Olympics. They watched a random game on TV that they had seen, or they had seen another girl play with the little boys in front of their brother. I think the youth is growing, and that is great, because I think that's a stepping stone that needs to start. And those little girls are the reason why we fight for what we do. We might not see the benefits of it, but watching these little girls who aspire to be in our shoes one day is the reason we do everything that we are doing right now. So I think the youth organizations are doing a great job, and I think it is going to continue to grow.
The hardest thing that hockey always has to deal with is this, right? The rink. It's got to be in a cold place. You can get a lot of people who can play pond up in the north, maybe not in Florida, Oklahoma, Texas. Is it hard when you know there are limitations to this sport, or are there ways that you think that, and not just on the girls' side, but on the boys' side too, to draw more people into the sport?
I don't necessarily think there's limitations. We trained for 6 months before the 2018 Olympics in Tampa Bay, Florida, in Wesley Chapel. So we would travel up the coast of Florida, and we'd play different teams, even some Division I club men's teams, organizations. So I don't think the limitations are there for lack of ice. I think limitations are there for maybe lack of ice time. if so many people want to play and so many people want to participate, it's balancing that with not obviously picking one sport, trying to work around other things. But I don't think there should ever be limitations. If you want to play, you should be able to.
Is this an expensive sport? I mean, I've talked to people, say hockey really is. I mean, the equipment, these kids especially, they're always growing, they're always changing.
Yeah.
Does that make it more difficult to maybe get into some of these urban centers where hockey's not really a focus?
Absolutely. Hockey's a very expensive sport, and I know there's opportunities with the NHL clubs with Learn to Play where you can purchase equipment for a very cheap price and learn how to skate for eight weeks. It's definitely an expensive sport, and I'm very fortunate that I was able to get all of my brother's old equipment, so I don't think I ever got a new pair of anything until I went off to school. But I think there's opportunity, though, for families in case they can't afford anything, they can't participate in things, that I think there are opportunities. You just have to kind of look for them. I know NHL organizations do a great job of financial assistance so their kids can play.
So where are you at mentally right now in 2019? What are your goals, your aspirations at this point?
This weekend for the PWHPA, it's just incredible to be a part of what we're doing, what we're trying to move forward with. But just looking at these young girls on the ice, even asking questions to us, but looking at them, looking at some of us, the way that we did when we first saw our idols, whether it be male, female, it's just incredible seeing where this growth of the sport could go and where it is going, but it's still not where it needs to be. So we work hard every single day. Another Chicago girl, Kendall Coyne Schofield, has done a tremendous job. I can't give her enough credit for everything that she's done for this association and putting on this weekend and helping in so many different parts and aspects and being such a big advocate for us. We need people like that to speak up on our behalf and get other people behind what we're trying to do. So
what is success to you then? A thriving women's hockey league? Or, I mean, is the ultimate goal to see a woman skate for the Blackhawks someday or skate in the NHL?
I think a goal for myself would be to see a sustainable league where we can make a living wage playing the sport we love, putting in just as much training as the men do. And I know our game isn't quite at where the NHL is at, but you have to look at where they started with six teams. And filling out stadiums that are massive now, but starting where we can achieve that, I think, is a big thing for us. But my ultimate goal would be to be a part of something that we can call this our job, be treated like professionals, and do what we love day in and day out. And to see someone, a woman play in the NHL would be incredible. Minori Ohm is still a huge stepping stone for us, a huge founder of where women's hockey is at today.
Yeah. You watch the women's soccer at all? They pushed the envelope a little bit, didn't they? Especially when it comes to pay. I mean, they used the field and their success to try to get something better done. I mean, do you feel that? Do you see that happening in your league as well?
Yeah, I was a part of USA Hockey when we did our boycott in 2017, and just seeing how far we got with that, but how far women's hockey still has to go, using professional sports, women's soccer, and how much success they've had, and just seeing the different pay gaps between what the men get paid, what the women get paid, and how successful the women are. You look to those organizations, you look to those sports to see how they can help us, how we can help them to work together, because we're all fighting for a common theme, a common goal. But just backing sports in general, you don't have to love women's sports, you don't have to love men's sports, but if you enjoy watching something, you should follow it and kind of digest and see what the true sport is all about.
All right. Do you have visions of Beijing at all or no?
I do. I am still training. It was a heartbreak of a 2018 for me, but still playing and still loving every second of it, and I still think I have a few more years left in me, so we'll see.
You'll be, what, 31, somewhere around there?
Somewhere around there. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, all right. Well, what do you think about being in here? Have you gone to a lot of Blackhawks games in the past?
I have. I still get chills every time I walk into this arena. Seeing the new Jumbotron is just incredible, but how much history is here and the players that the Blackhawks have, it should be a great night.
You going to get a chance to meet any of them or no?
Not today, I don't think, but...
They should get a chance to meet you,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So you should just tell them, hey, Taves, yeah, I'll be over there so you can come meet me.
Yeah, it's just great to watch them and see them perfect their skill out there, so it should be great.
All right, and I don't mean to get personal, but is that an engagement ring?
It is, yes, I'm getting married in August.
A hockey player?
Rugby player.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Chicago guy?
He's a Toronto guy.
Toronto guy. All right. So does that mean you're going to get dual citizenship? Do you already have dual citizenship?
I do not. I will apply once we get married. But I've lived in Toronto the last 5 years. So.
Okay. All right. Well, your accent doesn't come through at all. You still have that Northwest suburban accent. So.
Thank you.
Next week, we'll get you updated on how USA Baseball fared, let you know what happened in figure skating, and much, much more on the next Quest for Gold, only at WGNRadio.com.